All right, let's go.
Hello, everyone. It's Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast. And before we get started with hockey, Dad, I got a question for you. What do you have in common with Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz?
Good looking guys.
Yeah, good one. Well, I just couldn't believe it the other day. You're in good company. And Tim, you were telling us about something for endorsements. Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, Grace, my daughter, Dad, your granddaughter, she sent me a link. It says, did Papa get into Bitcoins? And I go,
Bitcoins? I don't even know what they are.
Yeah, that's what he said. Because she sent a link and it's got a CBC News logo on it. And it says, special report, Don Cherry's latest investment has experts in awe and big banks terrified. Canadian citizens are already raking in millions of dollars from home using this wealth loophole. And it's got a picture of you and Stephen Colbert. And then it goes on again, CBC News byline. Don Cherry is a Canadian ice hockey commentator.
Ice hockey, as opposed to field hockey.
And sports writer, who is famous, he spelled famous wrong, across the country for his non-standard approach to work and decided to talk about how he makes his money. And it goes on how you went on Stephen Colbert and there's this new Bitcoin app out there that you're making millions and millions of dollars on. And so we just want to say to everybody, that's not true.
No, it's not true.
I wish
it was true.
You knew it wasn't true when in the article they said you pulled out your phone.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have a cell phone.
Read something about that.
It says, hockey comment, last week he appeared on the Late Show and announced a new wealth loophole, Bitcoin Up, which has been transformed anyone into millionaires within 3 to 4 months. Cherry urged everyone in Canada to jump on this amazing opportunity before the big bank shut it down. And sure enough, minutes after the interview was over, National Canada Bank called to stop Cherry's interview from being aired, but it was already too late. The late night show host, Stephen Colbert, invited Cherry on the show to share any tips he had on building wealth. And at the end of the show, he suddenly dropped the bomb. And this is quoted. This is what you were supposed to say. What made me successful is jumping into opportunities quickly without any hesitation. And right now, my number one moneymaker is a new special software trending system, Bitcoin Up. It's the single biggest opportunity I've seen in my entire life to build small fortunes fast. I urge everyone to check this out
before
the bank shuts it down and it goes on. But it really is professional looking. Like, it's got
good pictures.
And it's got the CBC logos and bylines.
How do they do that?
Well, I was watching Dr. Phil for a little while. And ironically, just this week, they had a thing with Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz. We're talking about, they have people doing this with, was it CBD oil?
Yep.
And it's just these guys in Eastern Europeans that do that. And it's just a scam that, you know, they get your credit card and then they start draining your, you know, people's credit cards. So again, don't believe people that Dad doesn't have a phone and you don't know what Bitcoin is.
I don't know what Bitcoin
There's
is.
There's only two things we endorse now, right, Dad? Is spreads.ca and Don Cherry's Grapevine.
Yes.
Or Don Cherry's Grapevine Pet Rescue Foundation. So
Pet Rescue's Foundation is very near and dear to my heart.
Yeah. And so those are your only two endorsements.
I just finished Life is a Bowl of Cherries.
You are becoming quite the artist, I must say. Oh, I just think they're fantastic, Dad. We put those. We're gonna do another online auction in November. Guess when we're gonna kick off the Coach's Closet? November the 11th.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, your paintings will be up for auction, and we get pretty good money for them. And I must say, they're very, very well
done. I'm looking at one right now. Life is a Bowl of Cherry. You know, a long time ago, I got a card from you, Cindy, and it's not Life is a Bowl. It's Life's a Bowl.
Life is a Bowl. Yeah, that's a good one.
Life's a Bowl of Cherries.
Same thing. And, well, I think why it's so nice is we get the canvases and you paint them black. So you're painting it on a black background. You came up with that. You're such an artist.
No, you come up with that, Cindy.
because you guys were watching Bob Ross.
He's the best. Yeah. Bob Ross. He's the guy that does.
He's the guy with like the big kind of afro in the '70s that did. Yeah. I'm gonna paint a little tree. Happy.
Yeah,
little
and,
tree.
It, it, and then I think
he just keeps
perfect,
going.
Perfect. Leave it alone.
Yeah,
it alone.
He just keeps
and
going.
He says, I'm gonna put a little bird up here. Don't put the bird. And then he puts a bird. And it looks terrific.
I know. Every stroke has a purpose.
Is he alive?
No, he died a while ago. They said that...
it was interesting.
Yeah, there was
an
interesting documentary on like where all his paintings went.
Where'd it go?
They have them in storage. They don't sell them or anything, and he just has them in storage.
I remember him. I remember
him. Oh, I
remember
watching. Yep.
Yeah, a young guy, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I think, I don't know what he passed away, but he passed away pretty young. But anybody that's our age knows who Bob Ross is. Anybody younger, they're saying who? But go Google him. If you're interested, and it's just like you could fall asleep listening to him. He had
such a very quiet. But boy, he did great paintings.
You think, okay,
didn't
it's finished now. What can he possibly do to make it look better? And boy, he would.
Yeah, you put a little bird in, I'm going to touch this tree up. Don't. And it looked better. And remember, he had really curly hair. He had a lot of hair.
Yeah.
That was the style, I guess.
Yeah, but just go.
Anyhow,
back.
I don't endorse anything. And that is unbelievable. And I guess there's a bunch of them. Oh, there's a lot of things. When I was with Ron, when I was famous, there was a lot of things. I guess I still am.
Well, the one time, I think one of the biggest ones, I think we told this once before, but it's worth telling that there was a magazine out, I think it's still out, called The Onion. And it's a satirical magazine. Like, they just make up stories. And there was a story that they wrote, and it said when Don Cherry was asked why the murder rate has gone down in Canada, and then they quoted you as saying, well, Don Cherry said this is shows you how Canadians have turned into such a blank, you know,
pussies.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but it was just in this kind of this magazine, right? And then all of a sudden,
I picked up the paper. I used to pick up the paper, and it was
the real papers.
A real paper was the Star, Toronto Star, and it was the Globe and Mail, I think.
Both. It was two of them,
and they thought it was real. And there was a big headlines of me.
So much for checking up on their stories.
Yeah, and big headlines that I said this and I said
the victims of violent crimes were all upset.
Yeah,
you know who I heard was Kathy Broderick, your producer from Hockey and Coach's Corner. She called me up, and she said, did you read the Globe and Mail? I said, no, I don't read the Globe and Mail. And she says, well, your dad. So I said, geez, that
and the
doesn't.
Star.
Yeah.
Well, they both hate me.
But she says, I said, that doesn't sound like
no,
that.
No, you never use that word.
And she says, yeah. No. Like, I was really surprised that
I'd
your
never
dad said
that word.
So.
Sorry, with.
So the retraction was like two lines on
buried
in the page.
But there's a lot of stuff like that, Dad, that we have to get used to.
Yeah,
you know, remember me? I remember I got upset when a friend said, I saw your dad's picture for sale in Giant Tiger, chain of stores.
No, I was very upset about
it. So I went in, $25, was framed.
Yeah.
It was an awful picture of you and Blue.
Well,
and I'll tell you, I called up Giant Tiger. Their head office at the time was in Quebec, so it was they were really tough to get a hold of. And so they finally gave me the photographer that sold them the rights or sold the picture. And I called him up and I had a conversation with him. And he basically said, you're a public figure and I can take a picture and anyone can take a picture. I go, yeah, but to sell it to a store. And so I said, oh, well, what are you going to do?
It was a bad picture, Blue.
Awful
with gold.
Picture. And then at the end of the conversation, he says, excuse me, do you think that your dad would ever sit down with me and take some pictures? Wait a minute. You're just and to think, you know, what upset me was that people must think you were getting money for it. It was such a quality, awful picture.
Yeah,
and people say,
awful.
How much, you know, money does Don Cherry need? It's $25 and all that. It was very upsetting, but it's just a lot of the things we had to get used to.
I get used to the Getty in New York. They sell pictures to pictures and pictures. I get pictures all the time, 8x10, beautiful pictures, and they make money on it, and they think I make money on it, too.
Yeah, it's so funny.
I
never, you don't make a dime.
I remember one time in Vancouver, a picture was taken with me, and I had a hat on with the orca, you know,
the whale.
The whale. No, I said, you're not going to sell that, are you? And he said, oh, no. By the time I get back to Toronto was up on thing for sale. And you know what? I still signed that.
I know. It's around. And you know what, Tim? I remember you telling me that, isn't it for Rock'em Sock'em or one of the covers you had to pay?
Oh, every
like,
Rock'em
no
Sock'em.
No one would believe that.
Every Rock'em Sock'em cover that was taken, basically, if we didn't take the picture, we had to pay for it. We had to pay for it. Like
Getty.
You had to go to Getty and you had to pay for
a picture of you.
I had to pay for my own picture.
I know. It's the irony of life but that we cherries have to deal with. Is
oh, well, I don't mind. But the thing is that I don't make, like, when you know, when they, like, when people buy the picture off Getty or whoever they buy it off of, they think I make the money.
How about the picture when we were signing one of your DVDs and the people were standing in line with one of your pictures just to be signed and some guy down the mall was selling the picture?
Oh, that was a beauty. That was my very first tape, first time out signing. And we weren't selling many tapes at the time. We were selling a picture. Remember 8x10s?
Well, what happened? Well, no, what happened was we were selling a lot of tapes, and we had a big lineup.
Yeah.
So what we kind of said was, look, we just want to sell the DVD. We're just going to sign the VHS things because there was too many people in line, and you know, you end up we
memorabilia all over the place.
We went to be for an hour, and then what happens is if you don't stop it, then all the you know, all the guys come with the
collectors.
The collectors come, right? So all of a sudden, all these really, but they were really nice photos.
They were great photos.
And you look and you go. And so you go, all right. And, you know, so you sign a couple trying to be nice, right? And then all of a sudden everybody had them and it was taking too long. And what was it? The lady got mad
because you said, we said, well, you know, no, we're not going to sign. She goes, I paid $10 for this picture. thinking that you were selling the pictures.
Yeah, she's saying, why did you sell me the picture if you're not going to sign it?
Yeah.
And I didn't even know what she was talking about.
And it was a guy down in the kiosk that was printing them out.
Yeah.
And selling them.
I remember one funny time when we'll get into autographs sometime. We should do a whole show on that. Oh, yeah. We were doing, it's how different it was from nowadays, that a guy came in, I think we were in London, a guy came in with a bull terrier. You took a picture of, he took a picture, like with a camera, of the bull terrier. And then he went to the kiosk at Walmart to develop it and developed like some great 8x10s. And then you turned around and were signing them. And you were looking like right then and there. And Dad goes, boy, that's a great shot. He goes, look, I'm wearing the same suit. The guy goes, no, Mr. Cherry, you just did this about 10 minutes ago.
Well, we have a lot of fun. And I know I don't get mad. I was a little upset at the one where he said about the murders and that.
Yeah, but anyway, so people be careful. And same with Dr. Oz and Dr. Phil. They
I happened to see a little bit of that.
Yeah, you were saying you're watching TV and you saw them. Come on.
And I guess everybody uses them as an example.
Yeah.
And they take.
You're in good company.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
They're doing it. You know what else now? They're doing it to a lot is Kevin O'Leary.
Okay, Tim, let's hear about our friends Spread, okay?
Okay, it's spreads.ca. It's a Canadian-owned online casino and sportsbook. And if you enter now and use the promo Grapes, you get 10 big spins on the big wheel for some big dough. And they'll match your deposit up to $500. And on your first sports bet, they'll spot you $25. So football's coming up. And yeah, so football's coming. And that's the biggie was...
Football's a big one.
Football's a big one. But you know, it's getting in all the sports now, and that's why the NHL... Single games, and that's a big thing. That's why the NHL's really looking into Evander Kane, because if there's... You can't have any, you know, any sign or any...
I don't know. Somehow or other, I like Evander Kane. He's always in trouble. Reminds me.
Well, he always fought Ryan Reeves, and, you know, I think the funniest line in the playoffs this year... was Ryan Reeves. Remember Ryan Reeves got suspended for 2 games in the playoffs. Yeah. And Evander Kane said, oh boy, that's really going to hurt the Vegas. He says, if you really want to hurt Vegas, make them play 20 minutes for the next 2 games.
I don't think is he ever happy Ryan Reeves has gone to New York?
Yes. And remember we said the New York Rangers and Washington Capitals that first game? Opening night, first game of the season, first game of the NHL is going to be, I think, I forget the date, it's October, whatever, 13th or something, is the first game those two are going to meet.
Well, we talked about that, I think, a couple of weeks ago, Tom Wilson. It should be interesting. I think Tom Wilson's going to kind of hold it a little bit, but I think Ryan Reeves will be out looking for trouble right off the bat. And and he'll play. And
Gerard Gallant, he played him. He knows how to play him.
Imagine he's the one guy he went after, and I can see him going into the general manager and going, look, there's only one guy I want. And they thought, yeah, okay, Nathan MacKinnon. Everybody wants MacKinnon. He's no one right. Ryan Reeves. Yeah. He says, yeah, that's the guy. That reminds me of when I wanted, when I went into Harry.
He went in John.
John Wensink. And he was, and John went, John Wensink was going, and I'm going to tell you how I, we had Battleship Bob Kelly, who was the toughest guy I think I ever met in any league. And so he was going to St. Louis, and Chuck Cato was the general manager for St. Louis. And I thought, gee, I need a tough guy. I said,
yeah, because you were saying there was a lot of guys waiting.
There are a lot of the teams waiting for us in Rochester Americans. So I honestly, this is how goofy I was back in those days. I guess I wasn't goofy. So I drove to Toronto, and they used to have, you could get in. It wasn't in where it is now. It was in the
the Hockey Hall of Fame you're talking about.
Yeah. Where it was in
the... It was in the exhibition place, so
yeah.
it's not
It was good, too. It was nice.
Yeah, it was nice. Now it's right on Young and...
It was lots of parking and, yeah. And you
not
could
not like there. Now. Holy smokes. Try to find parking around there now. It's brutal.
Well, anyhow, I went over and I saw a picture, and I knew they'd have a picture of the Memorial Cup. They won the Memorial Cup in Cornwall.
So you actually went to the Hockey Hall of Fame to see a picture of John to know what he looks
and
like.
And I saw him in the background, and he had a curly hair hanging down. It was looked like wire hanging down. And he had a Fu Manchu boy. I said, that's the guy I want. So he went to the St. Louis camp. I think he hurt his leg or something. Anyhow, and I remember phoning Chuck Cato, and they said, you got it. I said, I want him. I got to have, no, Don. I thought they were going to keep him. They were going to send him to Port Huron or someplace. No, you don't want him. He can't skate. I said, I want him. He said,
so they thought they were doing you a favor by steering you away from him.
Yeah, Chuck Cato. And boy, I got him and got off the plane. I think I told the story. It doesn't matter. He got off the plane, and you used to be able to carry your skates on as long as you taped them up, the blades, the blades are taped. And he got off with these old skates. No wonder he couldn't skate. I'll go on the whole story about John Wensink, but
you guys were in St. Louis and
Bob Gass. Did we tell that story?
I think so. We've told it before, but
I could tell about Bob Gassoff. I thought the world of him. And if I told a story before, I'll tell it again. Maybe you missed it. And he actually scared us. The Bruins, and we had Terry O'Reilly. Terry O'Reilly was sick, and we had guys in the club. We had a couple of guys in the club that didn't want to go on the ice. Bob Gassoff was at his best. So after the game, Harry was at the game. I said, Harry, I need this John Wensink. He says, no. He just kept saying, nope. He says, how can I justify getting a guy that I'm being sent is being sent to Binghamton, New York. Yeah, Binghamton Blazers, I think it was. And he said, and I've got the MVP, and I've got the leading goal scorer, and I bring this guy up that nobody even. And by golly, he brought him up. But boy, when he went, nobody was better than John Wensink.
Yeah, because, we got on that talk about Ryan Reeves, and I read an article on Brendan Smith, the defenseman for New York, and he was talking a little bit about that situation, and he said that the next game we played him, he goes, I knew that I was the guy that was going to have to fight Tom Wilson, and he said, and I'm not a heavyweight.
And
he's a heavyweight, and he says, but I felt I had to, I had to step in and do something, and so now, now they don't.
Now they have the heavyweight.
Now they have a nuclear option, right? That's what they call
nuclear. What's that word?
A nuclear option. That means that they could press the button and obliterate stuff.
He's getting another couple of years. He won't want to fight. He wants to fight now.
Yeah, but there's those things that. I bet you he doesn't have a lot of fights next year because nobody wants to fight him.
No, who'd want to fight him?
Right.
The only way you'd really win against him is if he wasn't interested in the fight, and he's been in a few of them, or he wasn't ready. The only way you'd win against him if you had suckered him.
Get the first one in and keep going.
Oh, and keep going. And don't stop, because if you stop, he might catch up, and he'd catch up. Anyhow, that's enough about Ryan Reeves.
Okay, but anyways, we talked about that. But anyway, that's the first game of the first game of the regular season. Yeah, so the violence will be awful, so make sure you watch it.
You know, we should talk about a guy that passed away from the Sioux. His famous brother is Tony O. And everybody knows Esposito. And Phil is his brother, and two opposites who never like one. It was one was tall and big, and the other one wasn't too big, but he was quick.
Yeah, it's funny how it's always like that, where the older brother shoots on the younger brother, and the younger brother ends up being a goalie, like PK Subban, and Malcolm and Tony and Phil.
You could go on and on.
Jason Spezza and his brother was a goalie.
Yeah, when you think about that, that is a pattern, isn't
well,
it?
Well, one's got the one can shoot. One, the older brother is always the guy that can shoot.
Shoot. So the other younger brother's got to go in net.
Yeah, because he's got to have something to shoot at, and he has a good player to be in shot.
Well,
so
he was shooting
good.
A good one. He turned pro with Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, and just to go in, his first game was November 4th, 1967, against the Rochester Americans. So you played against them.
I don't remember.
Yeah, and you got two assists, and the score was 3-3.
Is that right?
Yeah, and you got two assists, and he made 31 saves he had 34 shots. So you were...
Wow!
Yeah, you didn't assist. I would have liked to see you assisted on the first goal ever against him, but you didn't. You assisted on the second and third.
Imagine that! And yeah. I wasn't. Harry must have been mad at the other defenseman or something for me to get in. When he went to Chicago, that's when he really made his mark. I mean, I know he was with Montreal, and he was a backup, I think, for Gump Worsley and Vachon, right? Rogie Vachon. And they had injuries, but he really made his mark, as they said, when he was with Chicago. I mean, I wrote down he had an average of .217 and 15 shutouts. I mean, that's unbelievable.
In his first year, he had 15 shutouts in his first year. I think that's still staying.
And Chicago wasn't a powerhouse, like Montreal. And he won the Calder, he won the Rookie of the Year, he won the Vezina, and. And that's where he got the name Tony O. He made the first All-Star. What a year. He can't do much better than that his very first year.
Yeah, and they said he was second, and he was just a couple points, votes away from winning the MVP.
Yeah.
He won in the Hart.
And the Summit, tell us about the Summit, Tim. You kind of...
Yeah, so, I mean, when the 72 Summit Series, Russia and Canada, right?
It was the greatest series of all time.
Right, so the two main goalies were Tony Esposito and Ken Dryden. So the first game, Ken Dryden was in, and we lose in Montreal.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that game sitting in Rochester watching, and I remember Rose was an American, and she was really kidding me because I said we're really going to annihilate them. Like I thought they were going to. What was the score? 8-3 or something?
I can't remember. Yeah, it was bad. But we were up 2-0 or something like that.
Yeah, we thought it was going to be a piece of cake. And I'm sitting there laughing. Holy smokes. Anyhow.
So Dryden's in the first game, and Harry puts Dryden in the net for the first, and then they get blown out. So back in Toronto, he starts Tony, and Canada wins.
Yeah, and really played well.
Right. And then...
That's when... Isn't that when who got the...
Mihaljevic.
Mihaljevic, yeah, got that. And people that are watching that... He got a shorthanded goal. Is that the goal time he got the shorthanded goal?
I think so. And he went through the whole team.
Went through the whole team and drew the goalie out, treat you out, and put it in. Standing around on top of him. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
And then he went. So then the next game was in Winnipeg. They tied. So
Tony played in that game?
Tony played in that game. So they tied. So Tony's one win, no losses, one tie. They go to Vancouver. Harry puts Dryden in.
Oh, that's when they booed.
And they booed. They lose. And Dryden played very good.
And Phil gave the
big speech. And then the first game in Russia, that's a gimme, right? The first game in Russia.
Well, you figure,
There's the Russians. He puts Tony in. And Tony, he plays well. And then he played Dryden the next. I think he played Dryden the next two games. And then played Tony the game 7 that they had to win, which he won.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then game eight, they put Dryden in. And yeah, and it was just like, Tony had a better average, a better save percentage, and he had a better record
all three of them.
Than all three of them. And you just wonder why Harry wouldn't have gone with the hot hand.
I think the best story, I love this story. Now let me get it right. Paul Henderson, we should talk about Paul Henderson being in the Hall of Fame. And Trecheck, who had to win one game at home, is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that talk about the biggest choke of all time. Yeah. He had to win one game in three at home. Yeah. And he lost badly in all three. I think his average was like 4.5.
And he's hailed with such a big deal in Canada.
It was a big deal over there too. Believe me, right. Canada and I think Dennis Hall tells this story. He's the best guy at them. He tells this story. Now let me get this right. That Paul Henderson is on the bench, and Dennis Hall is on the ice. And he says, Dennis, come off, come on. And Dennis looked over, and he come off. And then Paul Henderson went on and scored the winning goal. And Paul Henderson tells the story. And this is Dennis talking now at the banquet. He's really funny. He says, Paul said that he heard God saying, call him off the ice, call him off the ice, call him off the ice. And he said, And Paul said, I heard God saying that. And he said, I come off the ice. He said, that's a lie. That never happened. And he says, I looked around. I never saw Bobby Orr. I'm only kidding, God. Yeah. Anyhow, yeah. Tony O.
So that was like, again, in 72, just to go over that, in the 72 summit, he was 2-1-1 with a goals against average of 330.
I don't know.
And Dryden was 2-2 with a goals against average of 470, almost 5. That was.
I don't know. I can't tell you, Tim.
And Trecheck was 3-4 with a goals against average of almost 3.9.
I'd like to tell you why, and I have no answer to tell you. But Tony O, I remember the very, very first time he played against us, and it was my first year. And we beat them 8-3 or something. We really hammered
them. This was in the playoffs. And it was best 2 out of 3 back then.
Yeah, that was murder. And we had a bye, and we were really up. And the second game we figured, and had the paper, like after we beat him, he's finished and all that stuff. I said, oh, boy, we're in trouble. And you couldn't put a P by him back then, boy. He really showed why they called him Tony
Maybe
O.
Maybe he was mad at Harry. Because you said he was pretty bitter about the 72 summit.
I knew guys that knew him. He would not talk about that series. Anyhow, he's gone now, and he was a good-looking guy.
To me, he's the beginning of the modern goalies.
He was a funny guy. You say that. He was a guy that wore the great big sweaters. if you hit him, it was automatic folds. The puck went in.
The puck was like his sweater was so big that the sweater just sucked up.
Yeah, everything figured out.
They had to go looking for the puck.
He was
after.
A butterfly guy.
Yeah, you started the butterfly.
And he went down. And the rumor has it he had a net between his legs. I don't know whether that's true.
Yeah,
but he did.
And then they like his catching glove. He had the big blocker on.
Yeah, he had the big blocker
on that, and they made him change it. And they said that he was the first guy that kind of went from the equipment of the goalie was there to protect him, and his thing was the equipment of the goalie was there to stop the puck.
And he did.
And that's what he did. Remember, he used to put the net, the snow around.
He put the snow on.
Yeah, I remember that. That was
and
a big
referee used to have to go and kick it away. He was a sharp guy. He had every angle figured, and he was a sharp dresser too.
And I remember he got he had the mask, like he had the fiberglass mask, and he was the first guy to put like a cage across the eyes.
He did, boy. And you can now. Yeah, they call it cat's eyes.
Yeah.
And
I don't know if he did that before or after. Remember Bernie Parent
got Bernie Parent.
He got a stick. He was wearing a mask and he got a stick in the eye and had to retire.
Yeah, and he was a sharp guy, Tony. And
so let's just do some of his stuff. He won the Stanley Cup in 69. He won the Rookie of the Year in 70. He was first team All-Star 1, 2, 3 years, second Team All-Star 3 years, won the Vezina Trophy 3 years, was an NHL All-Star game like 10 times, and was on the Summit Series and the whole deal. So he was something.
Tony O, one of the best. Yeah, Tim, he was great, and I want to talk another great is Joe Thornton. He signed with the, and nobody can understand here in Toronto how anybody from Toronto can ever think of anybody wanting Joe Thornton. I think Joe Quenneville said he wanted him, and I think he'll be great back there.
Yeah, I think the rumor too is now as Chara's not signed, and the rumor is that they're trying to sign Chara in Florida too.
Oh boy, I tell you that Florida's going to be something to get Chara. I think it's not that Chara doesn't want to sign with Washington. I think he just doesn't know if he wants to play or not. It's not, but I think that.
I think like the whole thing with the older guys too, Dad, is like, I think Quinville will know how to handle Joe and play him. I just don't think he played enough up here. No. I don't think, you know, I think Keefe, you know, I'm not knocking, you know,
he did play him on the power play.
But, you know, I don't think he played him enough. I don't think he played Simmons enough. And, you know, like he played Spezza a lot. Like what Spezza did. And the reason Thornton couldn't do that because he didn't play the same.
Yeah, he didn't have center. I know for a fact that when you're older, you have to play. If you miss two or three games, or if you only get about 6 minutes of the game, that's not playing. That you just get warmed up. I remember when I made a comeback. Someday I'll tell about that. When I made a comeback and I the first three games, in the American Hockey League, they had under 26. It was development league, and I played a regular. The first game I didn't, and we got hammered 8-1 or something in Cincinnati. And after that, I played the next three. I was plus five. Oh, no, I was plus three. And after that, I was phoned and said that you're not making a Southern trip. And once you miss a game when you're older or you don't play much, and that's what I think happened to Joe. I think Quenneville, when he gets down there, will play him about 13 minutes. He'll play him on the power play because there's nobody in the National Hockey League can pass a puck like Joe.
You know, the other thing, too, that I thought was kind of, we didn't talk about it, is Montreal didn't sign Perry, and Tampa signed him. So Tampa faced Perry 2 years in a row. When he beat Dallas, they played him. And then when they played, Tampa won the cup. And then next year they played Montreal. Perry was on Montreal. I think maybe they said, we're sick of seeing him in the finals, so we better sign him. And they signed him for 2 years.
2 years? Is that right? I didn't know that. I thought it was just 1 year. Usually older guy, they only signed for 1 year. Perry is a pain in the neck to play against because he really is. He's always involved in something that goes on. But you're right. I think Quenneville will know how to handle Joe Thornton. I think Joe Thornton will be terrific in Florida. I don't know how many goals he'll get, but he'll be a force.
Well, that sounds like that Quenneville's a smart coach down there. I guess he learned from the best, eh? Because he played for you in where?
Well, he came from in Colorado, and he came out with Lanny McDonald. He was like Joe Sanusi on the trade. He said he was a great spare tire. But he was, you could tell back then he was going to be a good coach.
Didn't he break his ribs when we played? He missed some games. Remember, he broke the ribs and you got
him. Shots. He's the only guy that I know of that got a standing ovation for blocking shots. He could sure block shots. Tim, he was one of your favorites, I know. He's out there. He used to kid with you all the time.
Yeah, I remember. Well, he had the broken rib. I think it was like one or two. I think he broke one rib and he cracked another. So broken ribs are pretty painful. I've never had one, but they said they're pretty painful. And
Joe Thornton, by the way, do you remember when he was in Boston?
Yeah.
Yeah, he played. He shouldn't have played. And he had, three broken ribs?
Three broken ribs in the playoffs, and the fans were booing him, and he wouldn't say anything.
And he never said
anything. I know something about ribs. When I gave my kidney to you, and I said to the doctor, I said, why does it hurt so much? And they said, we had to take out a rib of yours. And they said, that's what...
And they don't do that now.
They don't do that anymore, but they said, that's why it hurts. It's the broken rib.
So it does hurt the ribs.
It hurts, baby.
So I remember he was hurting, and then I remember his whole side was all... black and blue and stuff.
Blocking a shot.
And he was out. And the players started, and you started cracking jokes, and he started to laugh. And he was laughing, and he was like, what are those? Ah, oh, oh. He was laughing, and he was almost on his knees. So you know the way hockey players are, right? The more he's laughing, the more he's in pain, the more they're joking with him, making him laugh. So
he's a good coach, and I think he'll do a great job with Thornton.